stressful, out of control, and uncomfortable eating experiences are more common than we might realize. Although, because it's not a conversation that usually comes up openly and non-judgmentally, we understandably don't really talk about it. Then, with all the shaming and idolized messages around food and body, it can draw us further into secrecy if we experience uncomfortable eating behaviors. But these eating behaviors are perfectly explained when we consider our body's nervous system states and our body's drive for safety and satisfaction. Today, we will explore some common terms to describe out-of-control eating and the reasons we might develop these so we can know how best to overcome uncomfortable eating and feel good around food. You are listening to the Food and Life Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Emma Townsend, a UK registered dietitian and a certified intuitive eating counselor. I support you to move away from lifelong dieting, emotional eating, and other stressful eating to develop a positive relationship with food and connection with your body. And just a reminder that we are all unique. So please use this as an opportunity to learn and explore, but if something does not sit with you, then it's not meant for your unique self. And if you have any health concerns or you are worried you have an eating disorder, please seek personalized support from a registered healthcare provider. Many terms to describe uncomfortable eating experiences can be used interchangeably. So, common terms that may describe these types of eating behaviors are things like binge eating, emotional eating, and overeating. So, these terms are not a diagnosis and they don't have strict guidelines around what is what. The only one that does have criteria according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders is binge eating disorder, but not all binge eating will meet criteria for this disorder. But whatever you relate to, or whether you have a diagnosis of an eating disorder, or if you experience uncomfortable eating outside of this, you still deserve to be listened to, believed, and supported. We often, as a society, don't talk about stressful eating experiences. And even worse, many disordered eating behaviors are normalized and even encouraged. It can feel like it must just be normal to feel stressed around food. But just because it's common, and although it's often secret, it doesn't have to be this way. So, no matter in what way you feel unsafe or stressed, or you're second guessing what you're eating, or if it just takes up a lot of headspace for you, and especially if it also brings up guilt, shame, or stress around food, then you deserve support to feel better around food and for food to feel supportive for you rather than restrictive and controlling of you. So, we will explore these three phrases that I commonly hear describing eating experiences, but your experience may not fit into one of these categories. The main difference in the different phrases used to describe out of control or uncomfortable eating is in the trigger for this, how it feels at the time and after, and in the amount of food eaten. So, having a way of describing your uncomfortable or unsupportive eating can feel helpful because this might help to identify the triggers and then what you need to cope or reduce these uncomfortable eating experiences. But we do not need to neatly fit into a box here. If, as you are listening to this, you are wanting to dive deeper or more support, I have a brand new online course called The Anti-Diet Guide to Overcoming Emotional Eating, which provides a step-by-step guide for you to tackle out-of-control and stressful eating through understanding and feeling in control of your stress responses and emotional states, improving your relationship with food, and developing body connection and acceptance. So I will link to that in the show notes as well. So I want to start with overeating. And to be honest, I'm not a big fan of this term, and especially just how it's used in society. It's come to have a lot of negative consequences about it. And also an idea that undereating is somehow morally better than overeating, which isn't true. And it's really subjective as well. So for example, one person's idea of overeating can be really different to another person's idea. But overeating generally just means eating more than your body needs or more than your body feels comfortable with at the time. But two things to consider here are, where are you getting the information about what your body needs? And if this information is not coming from your own body, then it must be coming from these kind of rules and ideals in your environment. And the food ideals we often see thrown around in the media and health messages is often less or a smaller amount of food than what most people do need to satisfy their body. So as the focus is often, like in our world, is often on eating as less as possible, our perception of overeating can therefore be skewed. If we have been focusing on following portion sizes and rules around how much to eat, then we may not really know how much our body needs. So we are using these rules and portion sizes to guide us. It may feel like overeating simply because it's more than the amount you are used to eating or the amount you quote unquote should be eating. And there's a lot of shoulds around food, which can make us feel we have to eat in a particular way and then feel guilt if we don't do this. And the second thing to consider here is that food is not just a nutritional need. That's just the very basics of food. So if we imagine a triangle of things that we need, and at the very bottom, we've got the things that will just simply keep our body alive. So food, safety, shelter, hydration. But this isn't going to make us feel mentally well and truly alive. This just keeps our basic body ticking over. So as we go higher up the triangle, we get closer to the tip. We also need a sense of purpose, and we have emotional needs, and we have social needs. And food also plays a part in all of this. Emotion, social connection, pleasure, memories, for example. So we don't have to always eat the smallest amount or like just what we absolutely need to function. And actually, we should be focused on, at the very basic level, getting enough food. So overeating in that sense may be that we ate more than like this very basic level that we needed, but maybe it served an important purpose in that moment, higher up in our triangle of things that we need. Another way that we may feel we have overeaten is if we feel uncomfortably full after eating. And to know this, we already have to be quite well connected with our fullness signals. So one thing I do see a lot, especially when working with people with a lot of food restriction beforehand, is that they are not used to feeling true fullness. So they might be more used to eating to just like quote unquote not hungry rather than comfortably full. So any fullness feels scary and uncomfortable. Our emotional discomfort can also trigger physical discomfort. So feeling gut discomfort may stem from our emotional fear of eating too much rather than actually overeating itself, or that our body just needs to adapt back to what normal eating is. So often I see people who are used to just eating to a point of not hungry rather than full. So any signs of fullness, such as the tightening sensation in the stomach, can be perceived as overeating when it's actually just normal fullness that we need to reach so that we're not then always thinking about food and in a state where your body is having to live off not enough food. But for those who are in tune with their body's fullness cues and eating in response to hunger and enough through the day, overeating can feel like when we get to the extreme end of fullness. So our hunger and fullness is on a scale. If we imagine the middle of the scale, say that's like between number 5 and 6 is just not hungry and not full. So that's like neutral. And then down at one end, down at number 1, we've got extremely ravenously hungry. So the most hungry you can think of, we can't think about anything else hungry. And then number 10, the other side of the scale, is uncomfortably, maybe even painfully full. Then when we look at these kind of extremes, number 1 and 10, we probably don't want to get there because neither of those feel comfortable. Our body can handle it sometimes. Our body is really resilient and it's designed to be able to handle this. It's not going to make or break us. but it's just not ideal because it may not allow us to be engaged in other parts of life as well. So maybe we want to aim for usually in the range of say 3 to 8. So a hunger of 3 and a fullness of 8 is what feels the most comfortable range for us. So if for whatever reason, instead of stopping eating at a more moderately full level, for example, you've eaten to a 9 or 10 level of fullness, so this is where you feel really stuffed, you're able to recognize this feeling. And once you do, you're able to maybe then stop eating. Or maybe you've already stopped when you recognize it as well. But this is probably what we term overeating. The thing I want to add though is that overeating or eating to high levels of fullness is really normal from time to time. We're not robots and we won't always, quote unquote, get it right. There may have been a reason that the food was just so good and you consciously chose to keep eating when feeling full with no morality surrounding that. And of course, if it is happening too often, it may be affecting you negatively because it's just not a comfortable place to be for much of the time. And perhaps the difference in my opinion, between something like overeating and the other types of uncomfortable eating that we will talk about is that we don't feel a sense of being out of control around food in that moment. And we maybe don't feel such extreme shame and guilt surrounding the eating. We might feel some shame or guilt because we do live in a society that moralizes eating too much. So I say extreme because it's common, unfortunately, to have some shame and guilt around food and just to second guess and beat ourselves up. But if you maybe consciously chose to, quote unquote, overeat, or you were able to stop when you realize the discomfort happening and were able to emotionally regulate after that, then it looks more like what we would call overeating. So as I said, it's really normal to overeat sometimes, and I still don't really like that term as it implies there's a right amount and we should be getting this amount we eat right. But it's normal to eat to levels of fullness that are uncomfortable from time to time. We can rest, give compassion for ourselves, remind ourselves that the feeling will pass. It's simply communication from your body, and it's uncomfortable because your body wants to act on it. So if you notice the feeling and act on it, then you are responding to your body's needs. Fullness will pass, and we still deserve food again when we are next hungry. This is really important as trying to make up for overeating by limiting food later is a risk factor for developing binge eating disorder, or other eating disorders. If overeating is happening a lot for you, giving yourself compassion for this, there's no morality and there's nothing wrong with you. We are not taught to tune into our body's eating cues growing up. So one of the main reasons I see people experiencing overeating or when they reach uncomfortable fullness often is the finish your plate mindset. So perhaps you relate to, like, as a child being told to finish your plate. Maybe there's starving kids, or you won't get dessert if you don't finish your plate. And, or even just whoever finishes first gets seconds. And if you don't eat fast enough, you miss out on having more, for example. This kind of messaging actively taught you that your body cannot tell you when you are full and to eat past this. There's nothing wrong with you, but you are allowed to develop that connection with your body again so you can eat in a way that feels good and feels supportive for you. If you relate to often eating past fullness or a focus on finishing your plate, it might be helpful to focus on tuning back in with your body, especially around your earlier cues of fullness. Maybe exploring your food story and understanding why it is that you struggle to honor your food fullness, and to give yourself permission to stop eating without finishing your plate if that's something you're brought up with. Also, permission to eat as much as you want to, as this is not a diet or rule. And just one last thing to point out here, and this can go with kind of all of the eating experiences that we're describing today, is that it's completely normal that if you are very, very hungry, so you get too far down the 1 to 2 or even 3 end of the scale, that it's normal to then eat to a higher fullness level. It's normal to eat quicker and maybe go past comfortable fullness if you're very hungry when you start eating. But also, especially if you have been chronically eating less than your body wants, so you've been doing this for a while, like most days now, it's normal for your body to guide you to eat more at each meal. Also, if there's any mental restriction, so even if you're maybe eating enough overall, but you do so with a sense of, I won't eat this again all week, or I won't eat this ever again, or there's guilt around food, then your body can feel unsafe that this food or enough food in general will be available. And then it will often guide you to eat more or overeat on that food. If you are in recovery from dieting or from an eating disorder or disordered thoughts and behaviors around food, it can be normal to quote unquote overeat in the earlier stages, but it's not really overeating. It's just the natural process that your body goes through to catch up on the energy it needs to build trust again that food is available. Okay, so moving on to emotional eating, or sometimes this might be called stress eating as well. I've also heard the term emotional overeating, which can maybe help to separate it from the normal experience of food serving and emotional place as well. But this type of eating usually describes when food is being used for the purpose of dealing with difficult emotions such as stress, anxiety, frustration, or any of the huge range of uncomfortable emotions that we feel. It may also sometimes be a way to self-sabotage or even punish yourself, or to get revenge or prove your point, especially if someone else have been making comments about your food or body. If you experience emotional eating or stress eating, it may feel like when you experience a difficult emotion, you turn to food to soothe or to numb or just to cope, just to feel something maybe, or maybe it's to feel nothing at all. So you may feel you don't have another way of coping with such strong emotion at the time, or maybe this happens a lot of the time that you feel strong emotion, and maybe it's just happening sometimes, or maybe it's just with some types of emotion. It might also feel like you weren't really in control at the time, like you were just on autopilot and you couldn't stop it. There's no amount of food that can determine if you are emotionally eating. It may feel like you are eating food that you should, quote unquote, should be avoiding in these emotional moments, or that you have no control anymore around this food. Or maybe you just keep eating past fullness with the purpose of numbing a difficult emotion or just feeling something other than the emotion. Sometimes we may feel sadness that the eating experience and the comfort that the eating experience is bringing will be over. So we may find it hard to stop, even when we know that continuing eating is going to feel uncomfortable. Okay, so you are not broken if this happens. It's actually very normal and human for food to serve an emotional purpose. Eating does serve a calming purpose. It provides a sense of safety. It can provide memories or even distraction. If you every now and then eat really comforting food when feeling uncomfortable emotion without any harm coming to you, then perhaps it's just a normal part of being human. Our culture really demonizes emotional eating and sends messages that like food is fuel and it's only fuel, which just isn't true. Food is memory, culture, joy, connection, emotion, and sometimes it's uncomfortable too, for exactly the reason that it's just so much more than simply fuel. Fuel is an absolute basic need we have, but we are much more. So in and of itself, eating for emotions is okay. But you also do deserve to understand and cope with your difficult emotion. And food can't provide a one-size-fits-all solution to all of the complex emotion that we have. So food might serve as a starting point if we just have no other way to deal with a trauma or a lot of stress or a situation that we're in. That's really resilient to find a way to cope when nothing else is accessible. But then to find peace, we need to go deeper into what is driving emotional eating and what we need to cope with the emotion. So firstly, looking outside of the emotional moment, are you eating enough in the day? I commonly support clients who feel they are eating for emotional reasons, but they are just not eating enough throughout the day. They are really hungry. And then when they feel difficult emotion and they're kind of letting their guard down, so to speak, their body is driving them to get their needs met. So until you are eating enough, we won't know how much is due to coping with emotion and how much is your body's hunger cues. Also, things like sleep, movement, rest, coping with stress, general self-care are all important to consider outside of the emotional eating moment. In an emotional moment, it is so normal that you might act on impulse. So we all have this kind of window of tolerance where we can navigate life and navigate emotion. But if something triggers our emotion to exceed this window, our sympathetic nervous system or our fight or flight response will then dominate. And the purpose of this part of our nervous system is to escape immediate danger. Your brain is perceiving your level of emotion and body activation as a threat that it needs to resolve. So in this place, the rational thinking part of our brain is pushed aside and it's not going to be listened to. Often a helpful, fast way to cope and to bring the body back to safety is not really available or it's hard to come by, but often food is there. And it is so resilient to use food to bring yourself back to safety and back to a calmer nervous system state. So do bring in compassion for yourself. Your body is not against you, but it is misinterpreting the emotion as a danger, even if you are safe. Firstly, if you're feeling unsafe emotion and you can at all, do seek support. So if you feel safe enough, one thing you might like to try in the moment is just allowing yourself 5 minutes of breathing before acting on or making a decision. So long, deep inhales through the nose all the way down into your abdomen. So maybe feel your abdomen expand rather than up higher in your chest. And then really importantly is long, slow exhales back out and completely releasing the breath. This is one tool to activate the parasympathetic nervous system a little bit more and allow your rational, calmer brain to have a say. The intention is not to stop yourself eating though. It is to help bring safety so you can maybe have a more conscious awareness of how you navigate this. And if food is used, maybe you can find some comfort and joy from being more connected with the eating. And I explore so much deeper into emotional eating in my anti-diet guide to overcoming emotional eating, which provides a really nice step-by-step guide for you to tackle out of control and stressful eating through understanding and feeling in control of your stress responses and your emotional states, by improving your relationship with food and developing that body connection and acceptance that's so important to feeling good around food and just feeling good in our bodies as well. So I will link to that in the show notes. So moving on now to binge eating. So there is a diagnosis in the Diagnostic Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM-5, of binge eating disorder. But you can be binge eating as well without meeting criteria for binge eating disorder. There's certain criteria for like how much you're eating, how long for, how often, etc. If you are worried you might have binge eating disorder, I would encourage you to reach out to your doctor as the diagnosis can just help you to get support that you need. In saying that, whether you meet criteria or not, you absolutely deserve support. You are not a textbook. And there is a reason behind these eating behaviors, and you deserve to understand what that is so you can feel good around food and feel good in your body. One difference that may separate a binge eating moment from emotional eating or overeating is in the amount of food eaten in one go. So binge eating typically involves eating a large amount of food in one go, bigger than most people would be able to manage, and eating past fullness within a specific time frame, such as 2 hours. But if you relate more to having like binge days where you allow yourself to eat large amounts throughout a day, then that might also be binge eating for you as well. Another aspect of binge eating is often feeling out of control in the eating moment. So it might be planned. For some people, it's planned in the sense that the food has been prepared for a binge, or the space and time has been prepared. But then in that moment, it likely feels quite out of control, like you can't stop. And sometimes some people might not really remember the experience either. Like with overeating and emotional eating, the very first thing is to check that you are eating enough in the day. I mean, really enough. And if you are calorie counting or tracking, then probably you are not eating enough. The only way to know how much you need to eat is to learn to connect with your own body to be your number one guide. If that feels far off, it may be helpful getting support from a certified intuitive eating counselor and dietitian like myself, who can provide you with some gentle structure around food to support you to get enough while supporting you to develop body connection. So not eating enough or having mental restriction around food is the number one reason for binge eating. So until you are truly eating enough without diets or food rules, we won't know if it's hunger or if there's something else driving your binge eating. Beyond that, it may also be helpful to explore your emotional coping tools. A past history of trauma or long-term stress can trigger binge eating. And if you suspect this, seeing a Health at Every Size aligned therapist might be helpful, or a certified intuitive eating counselor who's also a therapist. One last thing to add, if you experience any behaviors to try get rid of food from your body or to burn it off after a binge, please see a medical doctor or your healthcare provider, as this type of behavior is really serious and you do deserve support. You may have gathered from kind of all my tangents and the different reasons for types of uncomfortable eating that there's just so much nuance and different reasons and triggers for unsupportive eating. And sometimes it's just your body going through the motions of healing, such as in the case of recovery from dieting or an eating disorder or trauma or chronic stress, for example. If you relate to any of this or any other kind of stressful relationship with food, like second guessing what you're eating, feeling guilt or shame over food, I can't reiterate enough that it doesn't have to stay this way. There's tools like this podcast and other reading and podcasts, for example, that can provide a more balanced view of food and your body that can help. And of course, you deserve support if that is accessible to you. So you can reach out whether you have a diagnosis or not. And a certified intuitive eating counselor will be able to understand where you're coming from and then be able to support you. I have spoken with clients who in the past have been brushed off by their doctor as not being like severe enough for an eating disorder diagnosis. And then they were given nothing, which resulted in years of navigating difficult eating behaviors with no support and a fear of seeking support after being really belittled like that, which is absolutely not fair. You don't have to meet any criteria. If eating is stressful, you do deserve support. So the key points here, there's no morality around eating in a way that feels uncomfortable or out of control. You are not broken, and it's not about the food. Understanding your triggers can help you identify how to explain it and the type of support that will be helpful, or just the type of things that you can do to start feeling more comfortable around food. If you relate to emotional eating or some kind of emotionally fueled out of control eating, my anti-diet guide to overcoming emotional eating may be a great tool for you to understand your triggers and to start working with your body to feel good around food. And I'll link to that in the show notes. It's been so lovely to share this episode with you today. For more support and information, including articles, free resources, online courses, and individualized support, you can visit my home on the internet at foodlifefreedom.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and review on the podcast platform you use. And feel free to use the three dot symbol to share with anyone who may find this episode helpful.
If you have a question or topic you would love to have covered on the podcast, I would love to hear from you.